Something slippery on the floor there. Well, greetings this morning in Jesus' precious name. Welcome to each one. It's good to see some faces that we've seen a number of times here in the last while. But some of you don't know these people, but welcome here from Concord. Appreciate you being here this morning, Matt, and your family, and I don't know all of your names here this morning, but also Mark High and his wife from Tyosa. It's good to have you here with us this morning, and it's good to see everyone that's here. Praise the Lord for that. I was blessed with the testimonies this morning, just again being refreshed that God is able to take something that, I don't know, we can hardly explain how this all works, but just how God takes us one step at a time until he has us closer and closer to him, and you know it's not done yet. And that's where all of us are. That's why we're here this morning. He's not done with us yet. He still wants to purify our hearts, and I trust he'll do that again this morning as we open our hearts to him and what the Lord has for us this morning. Let's bow together and pray. Lord, we thank you this morning for the opportunity to be together in this way. And Lord, we pray for the anointing of your Spirit upon us and upon the preaching of the Word. And I pray, Lord, that you would take the little bit of oil that I have, Lord, and pour it into each vessel that's here and multiply it by thousands, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you would just speak to us your mighty works and your mighty acts, Lord, and may you give us understanding in your word and draw our minds and thoughts towards you this morning. Thank you for what you've done for us, Lord. Thank you for reaching out to us, lost sinners that we were, Lord, and even while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We just thank you for that, and we thank you for the privilege we have to be among God's people today to share these things together. Bless our time, we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Been pondering some verses and in my heart this week, and one of those verses was in Philippians chapter 2, in verse 4. He says this, "Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." I'd just like to draw your minds to that verse this morning as we consider this subject that I want to talk about this morning. There's also another scripture that came to my mind, and Jesus referred to this as well. It's found also in the Old Testament. But in James chapter 2, verse 8, it says, "If you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, you do well." We all know the first commandment is that we should love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And, you know, there's no substitute for loving God with all of our heart. There's no substitute for that. That's a defined area. And it needs to become defined in our lives that we love God with everything that we have. And there's no substitute for that. And what I'm going to share this morning, I'm not going to be able to balance everything that I want to share this morning to you. But primarily, there's two aspects here that we're wanting to look at or that we will consider maybe, but the one aspect is to love God with all your heart. And out of that, I think, flows the loving our neighbor as ourselves. It's out of that flows. And in relating these two verses together, you might be kind of floundering yet as to where I'm going with all this, but look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others, and then thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. James says it this way, that ye do well to do this. You do well. I've been meditating on these truths, and I feel God's been working some of these things in my own life, in these areas, and just, I don't know it. I don't know when it started. It probably started before I was married, that some of these things were being worked on in my own life, and are still, God is still working at it in my own life, in these things. But, you know, there's a natural tendency for us to be very self-focused. There's a very natural tendency in us to be self-focused, to be self-centered. You know, and even in our conversations, and I find myself there at times, you know, in our conversations, it's all about me. It's all about what I've been doing, and it becomes just self-centered. And I know it's okay for us to share about what we're doing and so forth in our lives, but I think there's a possibility that we can be overtaken in that area of being self-focused, self-centered, selfish. You know, our whole society is structured towards those kind of things. The whole sales marketing is structured towards being self-focused, self-centered, and selfish, and all of these kind of things. We don't have to go very far to find those things. But you know, as we all know by experience, that kind of life is empty. It's empty, that kind of life. It's very unfulfilled. It's a very restless kind of life to be self-centered and self-focused and selfish. All of those things combined together really do bring an emptiness and an unfulfilled life, a restlessness. And as parents, I thought about our children in their young years, you know, when you see a 2-3-year-old, you know, and the things are just starting to really come out of who they really are and the old nature within, the old Adam, could we say, you know, and they're just grabbing for everything, you know, it's mine, and it is, you know, and we as parents, we look at that, we know, child, this will not take you right. This is going to be a very unhappy life for you if you continue to go this direction. But it's no different for us adults. We find ourselves there at times, don't we? And, you know, that it's mine attitude, or, you know, contrasting that with the opposite of that, when you see the children that have learned and they're sharing with each other, and they're like, the children's lesson was, you know, teamwork. You know, you can both have the same toy, and you can share it with each other, and you can both be blessed. Somehow we think after we become a Christian that somehow that's all going to be removed, and thankfully there is a good portion of that that goes with the repentance area and so forth, but we still find, I think, the tendency is still there to be selfish, to be self-centered, self-focused, and all of these kind of things. And God has a refining process He needs to take us through to purge us, and so He takes us through the fires. He takes us through the trials, the testings. And you know, even as a young person and you are anticipating marriage, you will find this one thing is pretty common for most couples that get married, is they discover who they themselves really are, still selfish at heart or in nature. And there's a giving that must take place in a marriage. There's a giving to each other. There's a learning to work together as a team, and surrendering our own selfishness and so forth to bless the other. And so we find that God uses those things in our lives to purge us in this area. But also, as we begin to look beyond ourselves and reach into the lives of others, I'd like to highlight this, that there is a joy and a fulfillment that comes into our lives And it's such a joy and fulfillment as you begin, and most of you have experienced this yourselves already, as you begin to reach out and to look beyond yourself, to look beyond your own focus and focusing on yourself, and look beyond to others to meet other people's needs. There's something that happens within your heart. There's a joy and a fulfillment that comes into your life when we do those kind of things that... I could just say it this way. It's a little bit like drugs. It becomes addictive. It becomes an addiction to minister and to reach out to others. Where you just have to have more of it. Turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Paul is wrapping up 1 Corinthians here. And he's given some greetings and so forth, and there's a little phrase in here that I'd like to point out here in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 15. He says, "I beseech you, brethren, ye know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints." There's that word addiction. It's the only time it's used in the Bible. But they have addicted themselves to this thing that I wanted to lay out before us this morning is this to get our thoughts and our not sure how to say it all, but just to stop being so self-centered and self-focused in some of these things. And I realize that there's a balance in all of that. And like I said, I won't be able to balance it all. We do need to have a time of looking at ourselves and so forth. But there's more to Christian life than that. And if you want a fulfilled Christian life, you're going to have to get beyond just looking at me and look beyond to what God has to do. You see, God saved us not just to save me from hell. God saved us for a purpose. And that purpose is a bit what we want to talk about here this morning. It's, you know, we need to love God with all of our heart, but there is a second command, and that is to love our neighbor as ourself. And that's where I want to take this message this morning. Maybe I'll just stop there. I want to read it on in verse 18 at least. "That ye submit yourselves unto such, and to every one that helpeth with us and laboreth. I am glad of the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaicus, for that which was lacking on your part, they have supplied." Notice verse 18. "For they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore, acknowledge ye them that are such." And he's talking about Stephanas here and how they had addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. And he says, "For they have refreshed my spirit and yours." And a person that has learned that to not just be self-centered and self-focused, a person that has learned that in life and God has taught them these lessons, they begin to reach out to others, there's something that happens within your heart and my heart when we brush up against those kind of people. You become refreshed in your spirit. And I think all of us desire to have a fulfilled, blessed Christian life. I think all of us desire that. Someone has said one time that they would rather wear out than rust out. You know, something that rusts out just sits outside and just does nothing. He said, "I would rather wear out than rust out." And I think that should be maybe the motto of our hearts towards God, in that we would rather wear out for God than to sit around looking at myself and rusting out, so to speak. And I've thought of that numerous times, you know, when life is full and busy and there's much going and many schedules and many things to pull together and that. I'd rather be involved in that than sitting around doing nothing. Working in the kingdom of God, what a blessing. You know, and as I look at the life of Jesus, that's how his life was. It was always about others, wasn't it? It was always about others. I'd like for us, if we could consider six tips this morning of how we could lead a fulfilled life. as we minister to others. Let me also say this, that there's a work for all of us in this, down to the youngest of children. If this is for children, it's for youth, it's for parents, it's for husbands and wives, it's for us in church relationships, it's as we relate to our friends, it's for us as we approach our neighbors, it's at your job, your employees, your employer, it's for all of these things. But I'd just like to say this, that the training ground for this is at home. This is where God trains us in this area of becoming less focused on ourselves and becoming focused on what we could do for others. You know, if it's not working at home, it probably won't work elsewhere either. If it's not working for you at home, to be focusing on others versus yourself, it probably isn't going to work elsewhere either. Does that make sense? God is training us in these areas at home. And I think as parents, I think it does us good to encourage our children in these areas as well. But these six tips I'd like to share, they spell the title of my message here, and it's pretty simple already. And usually we write our title across this way. It's for the sake of what I want to do this morning, I just want to do it this way here. These six things here I'd like to talk about, and it spells others. Others is what it spells. And it's not some new phenomena here that I want to talk about, but I think most of us are aware of some of these things, and yet we need those reminders to refresh our memory and to refresh ourselves as to why God has saved us, why He's called us out of darkness into this marvelous light. It's not for ourselves. It's for the testimony to go out into all the world. And it starts in our own homes. It starts in our own lives. And so we'd just like to look at some of these. And the first one here starts with an O for others. And these are tips in how we can learn to stop being so self-centered and self-focused and look at others. And one of the first things is that we learn to observe. Learn to observe. You would agree with me that to look is also to observe. Is that right? To look. Now, it can vary in a number of ways here, but to look is also to observe. And we had here in this verse in Philippians 2, verse 4, that I mentioned at the beginning here, it says, look not every man on his own things. And it gives us the picture of someone that's just looking at his own things. He's just observing his own things. But he goes on, he says, but every man also on the things of others. Let's become an observer of others. What are some of the things that I could do to refresh someone's spirit and bless someone else? And I regret, I've missed opportunities because I was not observing and looking for those opportunities. You know, when we're not looking for those opportunities, we'll apt miss them. When we're not looking for those opportunities and observing them, some people seem to have more of a natural gift in this area of their being very observant and bless others. And some of us, we sit back and it's like, why didn't I think of that? I could have blessed that person also if I'd have just thought of it, but I wasn't very observant. And those are things that God has to teach us to observe. And like I said, it starts at home first. That's the training ground. We as dads, I think most of us dads, we can relate to this, that we're not as observant as our wife is. You know, we can get all caught up in a conversation, even here at church, and the children are zooming past us and we didn't even see them. Lord, help us. That we would become observers and observant. I think when we pray and seek the Lord about those things in our life, as we desire, you know, if you want to reach out beyond yourself, you're going to need to pray about it. You're going to need to pray about this thing. To pray and then start observing. God, would you help me to be able to get my focus off of myself and focus on others, to refresh them, to bless them, to minister? Could we pray that kind of prayer and then lift up our eyes to look and observe? Just little tips here of how to reach out to others. You know, there are multitudes of needs that we could fill that would refresh someone else. And the needs are endless. There are needs in the home where you live. Whether you're a child, whether you're a young person, whether you're a parent, even grandparents. There's needs. There's things that we can reach out and in our own homes to bless and to refresh someone else. And it's not as complicated as we want to make it sometimes. Sometimes we think, we'll get to that. I'm running ahead of myself. But sometimes it's just a simple word of appreciation to give to someone that blessed you or did something for you. And it just means something. It's refreshing. See, your focus went somewhere else, not just to yourself. When you can bless and be thankful for something that someone did for you. But if we'll observe what the needs are of others and how I could fill that need, it becomes a blessing. The next one. Here's where I was running ahead of myself. Just another tip. We all know that to look at others, to minister to others, it's going to take time, right? We know that. And some of us almost write it off right there because we think we don't have time. But let me just tell you this, that we all have the same amount of time. It's 24 hours in a day. There's 168 hours in a week. There's 720 hours in a month and 8,760 hours in a year. We all have the same amount of time. And you know, we make time for what's important to us. We make time for what's important to us. So if my focus is on myself, I make time for me. But if my focus is on others, and they're the ones who are important in my life, then I will make time for them. Whether it's your wife, whether it's your children, and you just go down the row. You know, the things that God would have us do, we make time for what's important to us. It takes of our time to minister to someone else, and sometimes that's where we want to stop because we just don't think we have the time. And, you know, I'm just as guilty as anyone, you know, of that, where we just don't think we have the time. Sometimes it's God brings people across our path that are sitting beside the road. And we go, we just don't have time. We go whizzing past. They might need our help. Would we have time to think of somebody else versus just my schedule and what I have to do today? Let me also encourage us that it may not take a few hours of our time to refresh someone's spirit, as was mentioned here in 1 Corinthians, for they have refreshed my spirit and yours. It may not take several hours. Now, sometimes it does, but it may not take several hours to refresh someone else and to have the focus off of yourself and to put it on others and how we can be a blessing to others. Sometimes, like I've said before, that it's just those few words that are given that lifts the weary heart in the middle of a trying day. And I think sometimes I think there's a good heart in us. We want to do these kind of things. We want to be able to minister in these kind of ways. And and we may even look for those opportunities. And we may be asking the question, well, how do I find the time I need? And especially I think of you busy mothers. You know, we have a lot of young ones there, and you have a lot of desire and maybe visions in your heart to somehow bless someone else and go beyond your own home and you know, make this meal or do something, and yet you find yourself with homeschooling and with trying to keep the house clean and make the meals, and by the end of the day you're exhausted. You just don't have the energy to go beyond that. I want to bless you right there. That's your ministry right now. And that's the way you can bless others right now. And you're not here on a guilt trip because of it. I think that's, God has you there with that. Same with you fathers. There's seasons in life like that. I want to bless you in that. Keep ministering in your own home. It's training ground. Colossians chapter 4, verse 5 says, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. You know, sometimes we have this problem with wasting our time, where we waste our time. And, you know, we could oftentimes, and we talked about some of this at brothers' meeting here a while back, you know, about, we just kind of went around the circle and shared about some of this technology thing and, you know, our phones and you know, there was different ones of us who just acknowledged that, yeah, we've wasted our time on the technology. Do you know what that does? It's self-centered, it's self-focused, it's all about what I can get out of this gadget, you know, for myself. That's not redeeming the time. And I just like to encourage us, when we do those kind of things, we can be, it can even be all right things to do. It might not be wicked things on the phone that we're doing, but let's consider, are we ministering to others? Are we ministering to ourselves in all of that? Let's walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. For us as fathers and mothers, does it irritate us when our four-year-old is there beside us? We have a lot to do, and they're there beside us, and they're asking so many questions. Is that irritating to us? Or maybe they're begging for you to come and read a story or play a game with them. And I realize there's a balance to all that as to what we can do and so forth. But again, isn't it what's important that we'll make time for? and to build those relationships and to establish those relationships at that age is a blessing. And to be able to answer their questions is a blessing at that age. Sometimes it does kind of grind us a little. It does sometimes. We're busy and have many things going and so forth. But the older our children get, the more I realize I miss some of that in my younger years with some of my older children that I would like now. You know, because then you can, if you have that where you answer their questions when they're 4 and 5, when they get to be 14, 15, 16, and 18, and 20, they're going to have bigger questions. And you want to be able to be there to answer those questions for them and to have that relationship built. I know it takes time, but it's well worth your time. It's well worth your time in all of that. That time is not wasted. That time is an important time. Let me just talk just a little bit about organizing your time. In this area of redeeming our time, when we organize our time, it's helpful in getting more accomplished. Isn't that right? That's helpful in getting more accomplished when we're a bit organized with our time. And I realize some of those things can also work against this whole thing when we're so organized and everything's so structured and our time is so slotted and so full that when the need really comes, well, we don't have time. So we need some flexibility with that organization as well. But if we're going to be able to reach out to even our neighbors and our friends and those who we would love to touch with the gospel maybe or those that we would love to minister to, sometimes we just are not organized in our time, and it's just time gets away from us. And maybe if we have some structure in some of those areas, it could help us to have some time to minister in these areas. Did you ever notice how God seems to bring needy ones across your path at seemingly about the busiest time? It seems like it works that way, and maybe that's just me, but it seems like those opportunities come sometimes at the very busiest time. Just had some of that happen here just a week and a half or 2 weeks ago when I was busy. I just quickly slipped over lunch hour to see this gentleman because he wanted to show me a few things, and I needed to quickly get back to the work again, you know. And this man had some questions on his heart that he wanted to ask. And, you know, he knew I was, you know, needing to go, but he just had some burdened questions. We ended up talking half an hour, 45 minutes, on his questions that he had. It was a very profitable conversation. It seems like those kind of things happen, don't they? And I have to remind myself, what are we here for? What really are we here for? I was challenged with that again just this past week. Somebody was talking about a gentleman that he knew of that was passionate about that very question. What are we here for? And as much as he had going in life to provide for his family, to meet the needs of his home and all of these kind of things, when it boils down, what are we here for? And maybe Jesus had to remind himself of that too. When he was 12, he said, I must be about my Father's business. It wasn't all about everything else or even all about myself. I must be about my Father's business. What are we here for? Some tips to help us. You wonder what I mean by that. Actually, let me change this to say something different. It might make more sense to you. And I know that's not quite complete there, but I'll explain here. But to hear, did you know that there are conversations that you and I have that we totally miss opportunities had we been really listening. Had we been really listening? We go out and we talk to different people, and this happens to me. I know it's probably happened to you as well. But if we were really listening for the cry of that comes from deep down within people's hearts, they don't quite get to that all immediately, but they'll give you little tips. They'll give you little things that would cue us in, that they're really calling out for help. They really do have a need. And they begin to share just a little bit. But we're sometimes just so busy, so occupied in ourselves, that we totally miss the opportunity and that cry that's coming. And that, you know, if we want to reach out to others, we're going to have to learn to listen. And listen for those little telltale things that tell us this person is crying out for help. Do you know what I'm talking about? Do you relate to what I'm saying there? I think we can grow in that area, and I think God can teach us those things. Again, I just highlight, let's do it at home. Let's start at home with our wife, with our spouse, with our children, having that listening ear. And I'm thankful that God always has had time for me when I cried out for help. Aren't you? Aren't you glad for that? When you cried out for help, that God wasn't too busy. He heard your cry, and He came to your help. Proverbs 21, verse 13 says, "Whoso stoppeth his ears at the cry of the poor, he also shall cry himself, but shall not be heard." Quite sobering verse, isn't it? Isaiah 50, verse 4, "The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned." Isn't that amazing? I think God needs to awaken us to hear the message that's coming. Can we do that? How many times have we missed the opportunities even to share the gospel? Because of whatever was occupying us at the time versus hearing. You know, and it's something I think, it doesn't just happen. It seems like God has to work these things in us. To have that kind of heart and to have that kind of ear to hear. God brings unbelievers across the Christian's path because He wants to minister to them through us. Do we look at people that way? Do we look at unbelievers that way? Those who we know are not right with God? That God brings these people across our path because He wants to minister to them. And He wants to minister to them by us. But if we're self-focused and self-centered, those kind of things won't happen, will they? Sometimes the cry's not very obvious. But can we pray and tune our ear to hear the needs and to minister comfort, pray for the struggling one, even go beyond our obligation to meet a need, to minister to someone else? I've been blessed. I don't know these people well, but it has inspired me different times. It's been a number of years ago. I knew a family that was up in New York City, and they would take this table out on the streets. Pretty much every day they would take this table out, and they had this banner that said prayer station on it, and they would wear these red aprons that said, you know, I'll pray for you, or something to that nature, that they had identified them with the prayer station. And that's what gave them many, many, many opportunities to minister to souls. And I've wondered how that effect how would that help our evangelical or our mission to reach out? How would that affect others if we could come with that spirit and attitude for sure to hear and to open our hearts to the cry that's coming? You know, at the end of the conversation, you could say, well, you know, you've shared these things with me. Could I just pray for you? And many times as you pray for a need that they felt, you can minister to a need maybe that they haven't felt yet. And you can pray for their salvation. You can pray that they might find God, who He really is. And just that their heart, you know, they've opened their heart to you, to the things that they felt. But many times we could reach further if we take those opportunities to do that. There's the cry. Let me just talk about, just briefly here, about the different cries. There's the cries of our own children. There's the cry of the drug addict who can't get free. There's the cry of the religious who are saying, isn't there something more in life? There's the cry of the widow in their affliction. There's the cry of those in prison who are saying, no one cared for my soul. No one cares about me. Hopefully we hear some of that tonight, of how we can maybe even touch others in that cry. There's a cry of those who have never heard the name of Jesus, maybe except in a cuss word. There's that cry, and there's many other cries. Are our ears open to hear those cries? Let's move on quickly here. Another tip in ministering to others, reaching out to others, is you wonder sometimes, well, it's just not in me. I just don't see those opportunities. I just don't, it just seems like these things escape me sometimes and so forth. If we're all wrapped up in ourselves, we maybe even don't know how to begin. We don't know how to begin even. Look for examples. Be a lover of good men. Look for examples. Look for those people who are reaching out. Maybe it's those people who are reaching out to you and have blessed you in some way. And I've learned much by the good example of others. Some of you have been a tremendously good example in this. Just recently, I got just a little note in the mailbox from someone here, a word of encouragement. I'm praying for you. You know, I needed that. I needed that right at that time. Someone was sensitive, was reaching beyond their own self and reaching out to bless somebody else. Thank you for that. That ministers. Those are things that we can do to minister. It's a good example. How have others ministered to you? That's a question we could ask. And it would be a blessing to hear some of that, maybe in testimony afterward here, how somebody has ministered to you. You know, we don't need to go around beeping our own horn about what all I've done for others. But could we open our mouth to express, and then we can learn from these examples of how others have blessed your life and ministered to you? I know when Javen had his accident, there was things that transpired and happened that we realized others have gone way beyond us in how they have ministered and minister to others. And it's inspired my own heart and our hearts in those very things. There was in Philippians chapter 2, verse 25 through verse 27, it says about Epaphroditus. Paul was writing about him. He says, yet I supposed it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger, and he that ministered to my wants. For he longed after you all and was full of heaviness because that ye had heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick, nigh unto death. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. And in the end of the book of Philippians, he kind of clarifies what he was saying here about Epaphroditus. Because Epaphroditus was sent from Philippi to bring things to Paul, to minister to Paul. And now it seemed like sometime on the way or when he was there, probably when he was there, this man fell sick. And I don't know, had this man weathered some weather like we have today, you know, and just rainy and dreary, and did this man maybe have, as he was bringing this stuff from the church there at Philippi to bless Brother Paul there in prison and to minister to his wants and his needs there. Did this man maybe develop pneumonia? I don't know. You know, I'm just assuming some of that. But this man was sick, nigh unto death for the cause of Christ. He was looking at others, wasn't he? He was an example, I think. That is a good example. In Philippians 4:18, he says, "But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you." Now notice Paul's words right after that. "An odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God." This man was bringing things from the church who was looking at others and was willing to bless others to the point where he almost lost his own life. Another tip is to rely on the Lord, to rely on the Lord. If this is a self-effort program, it's, again, focused on who? Self. And it won't come out the same as it is when just from the genuine bottom of your heart, you love and have concern for someone else. Rely on the Lord for that. It's the Lord who gives us those kind of passions and longings in our heart. There are many situations that come as you reach out to others that are too big for us. Rely on the Lord. Some of us are scared to reach out because what if there's a question I can't answer and I don't know what to say? Some of us have a little fear of that. I can relate to that as a young man especially, and even today at times. You know, we face those challenges when there's questions that are too big for us. It's okay to say, you know, I don't know, but let me go find out. Rely on the Lord. No one but God is sufficient to meet the needs of humanity. And you know, we can't minister life of ourselves. The life comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what ministers and refreshes others. When we can give of the life that we've experienced from Him, and we give it out to others. Isn't that a blessing? Rely on the Lord. Rely on the Lord for answers. Rely on the Lord to lead you to the needs. Rely on the Lord to give you the opportunities. Rely on the Lord to be able to give a biblical view and to share the gospel. You know, God prepares us for these things. Many times there's trials and afflictions that come that you can minister to someone in a way that no one else can because of what God has taken you through. I can relate very well to some of those things. Let's finish up with the last one here. To minister to others means sacrifice. It will mean sacrifice. To minister to others being selfless. That's what it's going to mean, to be selfless. To minister to others means you might lose some sleep. To minister to others. To minister to others means that you're going to be carrying somebody else's problems and troubles. And I know we have a good place to go. We can be yoked up with Christ. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And that's a blessing that we don't have to, quote, carry all that person's troubles to. But we can leave those to the Lord as well, just as well as our own. But in a sense, we carry that person's troubles. It also means that it's going to take time. We've already talked about some of that. It's going to take time. You're going to have to sacrifice what you like to do, what you want to do for others. You know, it's a beautiful thing. I just want to say this. It becomes addictive. If you really get your heart to where, or God can get your heart to where you can, out of the bottom of your heart, you just love to do these kind of things. That'll surpass any hunting trip you'll ever take. It'll become addictive. Sacrifice. To minister to others. Sometimes it means you're going to have to spend something. Sometimes it takes money to minister to others. But you know, isn't that what Jesus did for us? He ministered to us. What if he would have been selfish and self-centered while he was living here on the earth? I mean, the story would be quite different, wouldn't it, of Jesus' life? But it wasn't that way. He ministered to us. He ministered to the needs that were all about him. And they pressed in on him to the point where he couldn't even eat sometimes because of it. I'd just like to close here. I think the Apostle Paul left us a powerful example of the sacrifice that he had, the Apostle Paul was very much a giver. One who had his focus on others and was ministering to others. Notice some of the words here that the Apostle Paul writes about some of his journeyings and some of the things that happened. And can't you see the sacrifice behind some of this? In 2 Corinthians 11, verse 22, he says, are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labors, more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with the rod. Once I was stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings oft, in cold and nakedness, besides those things which are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. The sacrifice that Paul, the Apostle Paul, made for others. It was phenomenal, wasn't it? I haven't faced anything yet compared to what the Apostle Paul had faced in some of these things. I just think it's a good thing for us to look at these things and take an inventory of how is it with my time? Is my time mostly used for myself, or is my time for others? How is it with observing? Am I so much focused on myself and looking upon mine own things versus the things of others? How about my time? How about the cry that's coming? Hear that cry for help. Tuning our ear, praying that God would tune our ear. Can we look at the examples of others and grow by those examples? Learn to rely on the Lord for everything that we need, both in ministering to others and your own needs, and then the sacrifice that comes. How am I doing with reaching out to others? You know, it's the grandest life that you will ever live. The most full, fulfilled life that you will ever live as a Christian. Yes, first of all, to love God with all your heart. And then to pour yourself out for others in ministering and in trying to help those needs that are about you. It doesn't have to be some big thing. You may never get to preach a message about others. But can you just take those little opportunities that God lays at your doorstep and bless someone else and refresh them in their spirits? That's the cry of my heart this morning for myself and for all of us. If you're seeking it anywhere else in the Christian life, you won't find it. It's as you pour yourself out for others that you'll find a blessing from God, a fulfillment in your Christian life like you've never experienced. It comes through that. And yes, we have to love God with all of our heart in order for that to flow from our lives. Let me just finish with a poem named Others. If I remember right, the Swartz Singers had a song similar to this. I think the refrain was this, and I don't remember the verses, but Others. Lord, help me live from day to day in such a self-forgetful way that even when I kneel to pray, my prayer shall be for others. Help me in all the work I do to ever be sincere and true, and know that all I do for you must needs be done for others. Let self be crucified and slain and buried deep, and all in vain may efforts be to rise again unless to live for others. And when my work on earth is done, and my new work in heaven's begun, may I forget the crown I've won while thinking still of others. Others, Lord, yes, others, let this my motto be. Help me to live for others, that I may live like thee. Lord bless you.